Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful, Jesus. If we stop here, you have done more than enough. Lord, we yield to the spirit of your word that brings spiritual stability. One of the reasons why what we have dealt with now, the second dimension of dealing with it, is in teachings. And that is the teaching I will be taking the last night, Saturday. The call to your identity and authority. That's the last night. Prepare your hearts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what I'll be talking about. Let me also mention that on Saturday by 2 p.m. to 4, every son, daughter, partner, and disciple of this ministry, Pastor Mavis, I identify with you. I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a member of this house. This is where God has called me to be now, that I am here. I'm going to be having a special meeting on Saturday by 2. Prepare for that meeting. I want to talk about the call to upholding God's truth. Under it, you can put unveiling or demystifying secular humanism. I will explain. We are not in a generation that should be ignorant. God is raising an army of intellectuals. We are not in a generation that should permit, let's just do it like that, whatever. No, the devil is not an idiot. He is very systematic in his approach. And he has disguised himself as an angel of light, deceiving people. So to just leave people like that without having to teach them properly will be the greatest undoing of the church. It will be the greatest mistake that we would have made as a church. And that's the reason why God impressed in my heart that this period I should also teach this. Because some of us are not aware of what we are battling with. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness. Ephesians, please put it for us there. Ephesians 6. Is that? Put it for us. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You also put that one later. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood now. Put it. Are we there? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the rulers that perpetuate the darkness that has covered this age. That's a better way to put it. Against the rulers. When you see these things, you are picturing demons, devils in high places. But these devils and demons in high places, they partner with political authorities, government institutions, political leaders to execute their plans. Because this is a satanic political structure for taking over territories. This is the structure with which the kingdom of darkness shuts down a territory. And they cannot do it with flesh and blood. They can't do it by themselves. So they empower and work with human machineries. So Paul is saying that if you are fighting the human machineries, you are making a mistake. If you are calling the governor, you are making a mistake. If you are calling the political leader, you are making a mistake. He said, we do not wrestle against the flesh and what? Blood. It's not those men or those women. He said, but the real battle is against principalities. Look at the name, prince. A prince is the one who takes charge of a territory. So you come to a particular territory and you see that there is a common behavior of the people. You enter Europe, there's a common behavior. You enter America, there's a common behavior. You come to Africa, there's a common behavior. You go to Brazil, Mexico, there is a common behavior. You go to the United Arab Emirates and the Arab world, there is a common behavior. Anywhere the patterns repeat, it's a proof that there are principalities supervising those territories to ensure that they keep men and women in perpetual darkness. Some people say that Nigeria is the most, Africa is the most religious in the world, and yet they are the most underdeveloped. And other nations are developed. The devil that is dealing with Africa is different from the one dealing with Europe and America. But the devils in Europe and America, I guarantee you, they have done more press up and push ups than the ones in Africa. The ones in Africa are still doing black play left and right. The ones in Europe and America, they can make a person stand and talk with dual personalities, four people talking at the same time. They can take a professor and he will defend a lie as if it is truth. The Bible says, who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness, knowing that he is God, yet they refuse to acknowledge him as God. So he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do whatever it is they want to do. Romans chapter 1, let me start from there. That's not my plan, but let me believe that God is leading my heart tonight. Oh, Jesus, many things in my spirit. Next year is going to be a major explosion. Yes, in revelation, insights. Now, this is how Paul starts in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. We're going to read it first. We'll have a little challenge. Romans chapter 1 from verse 16. He started by saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please, from everything I'll say today, hold on to the beginning. Then when I get to the end, you will match both. Just hold on to the things I'm saying now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jews first, and also for the Greeks. Take note of it, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The church is not called to many other things except to propagate what? The gospel. Unfortunately, we are engaged with many other things. We think they are good things we're doing, but in a real analysis, some of them are major distractions to our original calling. Take note of what I'm saying. Pay attention. So Paul said, I am not ashamed to preach it. Why will I be ashamed to preach the gospel? When I know that the only hope for humanity, the only thing that will bring men to light so that their lives can be better, is the preaching of the cross. I can never be ashamed of it. I'm establishing this because we have come to a dispensation where people are ashamed of preaching the gospel. Many of us believers today, if they preach you outside and say, start preaching, some people say, I'm shy. Some people say, I don't know what to say. Some people say, I don't know where to start. Why? The devil has kept us busy. 6 months in the church, you cannot preach. 1 year in the church, you don't understand. Some people, 5 years in the church, anytime they show up in church, give me Lord, give me Lord. They cannot communicate the real essence for which the church was established. The purpose of the church, the product that the church is supposed to give the world, is disciples. Quality disciples, men and women that have been taught effectively, and they can replicate in men what they have become through the teachings of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we are clouded with many other things. Go ahead, verse 17, for time's sake. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hold on to the word, the just shall live by faith. Because in secular humanism, what secular humanism attacks is faith. when I start giving you explanation, I will take that one as a lecture when I start. So let me go around. Just pay attention. If any devil that tries to make you sleep now is part of those principalities, I'm telling you. Because what you will hear now will bring light into your life. It will now dictate and determine how you make decisions. You don't know that, no, I can't decide like that. You will now open up yourself to the Holy Spirit, who will be guiding your decisions, your thoughts, your actions. Pay attention. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. That means the right character of God, whereby he justifies men, declares them free, discharged, and acquitted, gives them good standing with him, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Go ahead. For the wrath of God is now taking us, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Put NIV for this so that it can be very easy English for people. And I don't mind using NIV throughout this. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So the reason they are suppressing the truth is by their what? Wickedness. And when we read from the beginning, verse Ephesians, it says that there are principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness. So there are spirits that make leaders wicked. There are spirits that enter into legislative houses and decide the laws, enter into men to bring up certain, what do they call it again now? Legislations, and stand their ground that this thing must become law. They go and visit men at night, negotiating with them the soul of nations, not just the soul of men. The soul of men, one. But if a nation is troubled, it can lead many, many people to destruction. So they negotiate the soul of nations, not just men. Pay attention. The Bible says the anger of God is revealed from heaven against all the godless wickedness of people who suppress the truth of God by their wickedness. Verse 19, let's go. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. When I show you some things about secular humanism, now you will see it. It's plain. These things are not hidden. It's not hard. He said it is plain because God made it plain to them. And how did God make it plain? In nature, he showed it. They now put God aside and say they will serve nature. God created the whole world and organized nature. But these men say, no, there is no God. We believe in Mother Nature. Where is the father of the nature? They say they don't want to agree. Why should we agree with that? And taking us back to a theory that we literally can see makes no meaning, that the earth was created about 6 billion years ago, and through a big bang, everything started metamorphosing gradually, that if it cannot be proven scientifically, then it is wrong. Who made science? Is there anything that is made today, or that has been made so far today, in the sophistication of nature that you see, and it doesn't show you that an intelligent mind made it? Since all the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the planetary bodies, the earth is just one of them, small. They have been rotating around their axis and revolving around their orbits. Sir, it has never gone wrong. It is so serious that you can predict an eclipse and say at a particular point in time. And who gave men to do that prediction? God. And they say, no, we respect scientists. We don't want to talk about God. When I teach about the power of God tomorrow, this is the dimension my teaching is going to this period, though. So follow it. You will see what I'm saying. Because we are in a generation where intellectualism is becoming the talk of the day. People are beginning to talk that, don't tell me about that. If you're talking about God, prove God. Throw away the Bible and just show it. Show it somehow. And by the time you do a miracle, they'll say, what is the probability that that thing you did is not a coincidence? Where I seated since morning, coincidence did not happen. I pray, a lump disappeared. They went to the hospital to check tomorrow. They say it's coincidence. Don't worry. God will expose everything. For since the creation of the world, can you see it now? God's invisible attributes. That means the attributes of God that cannot be seen. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. These things were made so that people are without excuse. Very clear. Go ahead. For although they knew God, so people are moving now. One person said, I tried many things. I tried to be an atheist. I didn't like atheism. I moved into relativism. I didn't like relativism. I moved into gargalism. I saw one on the internet. I tried Christianity. I didn't like it. And I said, I decided to embrace secular humanism. In my mind, I said, it should go on. I can't talk about the person because that person is the image and likeness of God. But that devil behind the person, so terrible. Whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes, that the light of the gospel cannot penetrate. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God. When I teach tomorrow, you'll get to know why some things happen. I'll show you how that demons do a lot of things, because I'll be talking about power of God. And despite the fact that a demon does it, the end does not justify the means. You can't say because this thing has been happened, as far as it has happened, it has happened. Whichever way it happened, we don't care. We care. Because whichever way it happened determines who takes the glory. Are you getting what I'm saying? God, the Bible says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking, secular humanism, thinking, I'm taking you gradually, just follow me, became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claim to be wise, and many of them, you need to see many of them all over the world. See, they are philosophers, a struggler, DTD, BTD. See all the title plus all the BTD, DDDDDD. I think the D just represents Dodoyo. Eventually, because you can practically see that Satan has blinded the eyes of this man. And some of these men are professors in some of the universities that were established by churches. Some of the greatest universities in the world, you know, today, they started as theological seminaries. They graduated from theological seminaries to becoming conventional secular institutions. Why? They succeeded to take God out of it. When God is taken out of something, it is called secular. Seculum, it means to be run by the spirit of this age. To live by now, what is now. Don't attach anything spiritual. It is called secular. Are we getting what I'm saying? Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desire of their hearts, to sexual impurities, for the degrading of their body one with another. They exchange the truth about God for a lie. I like the Bible. Every time I read the Bible, there's no other place. At least I have read a little bit about some of the things. When I went to theological school, I did a little bit about world religions. And with that, I am grateful that I have settled for Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm grateful. Very grateful. He said they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to the shameful lusts. Is it not shameful for a man to carry this lectern now and say, I will marry the lectern. This is my wife. A person will buy flower and come before the flower and they will snap picture and be doing like this. baby. You know that is a degree of madness. A degree. Somebody will buy a cat and will not marry a woman. I will be treating the cat as a woman, kissing the cat. And that is your beloved. Ah. I know you are laughing because I'm teaching these things, because very soon, I know that with the move of Japan and everything, meant some people will still travel. And before, as some people are traveling, they will be bringing it. You know what? Nigerians traveled, we are carrying gospel there. But I guarantee you, some people will import the other things here. Because they are bringing it already. A guy came down from the airport and he told his wife, his mom is bringing his wife. The mother was so excited. Only for them to get to the airport and started cat walking with a guy, fellow guy. Mom, here's my wife. He said, where is she? Oh. Eh? It was simple. How can somebody that has full stack mustache with chest and six packs and stone, you know, a man's face and body's hard, be your wife? In the beginning, it was not so. For male and female created he them. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Now, this, there are some Bibles you buy today. This is not there again. They practically expunged it. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their error. And these guys will stand and defend. They say it's a lie. That thing is not in the Bible. That some people sat down and they chose to just write it like that. That cannot be. But from Sodom and Gomorrah, we have seen it. How is it not there? Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthy to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Give me the amplified version of this. If you can find amplified classic of this particular verse. And so, since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God or approve of him or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but very well loathsome. How many of you have seen some fashion parades today? They do, and the ladies braless, transparent, with a very tight something just around. It's not full, it's not pants. If it's pants, we'll know. And she's catwalking and smiling with light on her face like this. Until they were filled. Is this the next verse? Which is the next verse? Are you sure? Until they were filled, permeated, and saturated with evil kind of every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping with covetous greed and malice. They were full of envy and jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, and treachery, ill will and cruel ways. They were secret backbiters and gossipers, slanderers, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, and boasting, inventors of new forms of evil. So there are some form of evil that they are now invention. You know what it means to invent something? They discover new ways of sinning. In the Bible, we didn't see that people were marrying goats. They have discovered a new way. They have amplified it. We didn't see that one in the Bible. The Bible, we just saw that man and man, woman and man. But this one now, they have moved to another level. Then in the Bible, we didn't see people marrying trees. God help you, your son just comes from somewhere and cuts your wife. She will grow again. Are you being blessed tonight? For time's sake, let's move now. Is that the last verse? They were without understanding, conscienceless, and faithless, heartless, loveless, merciless. Though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they do not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. These are the governments that we are beginning to see in the Western world. Go back. They are already fraternizing with governments in our country. Just that our countries, African countries, are still crude a little bit. The demons in Africa are still gaining ground, so they don't want sophisticated demons. Are you done? Very good. So let's go to secular humanism. I'll explain to you and I'll move. I'll move fast because I've already given a background of these things. Secular humanism is a worldview that promotes living well in a world that is devoid of God. It seeks to explain the natural world without acknowledging the supernatural and aims to find happiness, morals, community, meaning, and fulfillment in life without relying on God. It is a human-centered philosophy that replaces God as the focal point with humanity itself. So where God should stay, they say no, human beings should take that position. Human beings can be God of their own. They are their own gods. No God created any man. Secular humanism is grounded in science, reason, and naturalism, asserting that nature encompasses all that exists. Proponents of these things believe that the power of education, intelligence, critical thinking, and skepticism to navigate life is what they really need to do. They view this philosophy as balanced, integrated science with the humanities. It emphasizes growing moral character, kindness, and goodness, but without any reference to divine authority or intervention. You can be good, you can be morally upright, you can live a life that is okay, but without God. God does not tell us what good or bad is. We decide what good or bad is. Secular humanism. When you begin to hear somebody say, "Don't judge me, don't judge me," you are judging me. What's your problem? We listen secular humanism. Because the Bible says the righteous man judgeth all things. The righteous man does what? Judgeth. Why? There's a standard for judgment. The Bible is a standard for judgment. So when somebody says we listen, we don't judge, that person is a major proponent of secular humanism. And sometimes unconsciously. Many times the devil is just creeping into this part of the world. So they are not even aware yet. They don't know what they are fighting. What I'm doing now is I'm importing something from somewhere. I'm bringing it here. So that when it begins to happen, we will not be left unawares. When your siblings travel abroad and they begin to suggest these things, you say, teso kata kata, you devil, get out. You will know that they are now possessed by a demon. It's a demon, it's a demon, it's a principality that is running this show. When I talk things and it looks like it, you will tell me what it looks like because you are the one in this generation. I don't know, they say, listen, we don't judge. That's the real common thing now. Say. You know what it means? If you keep listening and you don't judge, evil will prevail. Because they keep peddling something, they don't want anybody to say anything about it. Now, let's hold on. This is how it happens. When you listen, you don't judge. I and my wife were discussing something, and that's how simple it is. Somebody comes out today. Wait. Somebody comes out today, and the person wears a cloth, and the cleavage is small, open. We don't judge. Tomorrow, nobody said anything. She'll drag it down. We don't judge. Next tomorrow, just bra. The more we keep quiet, the more what's supposed to be an abomination becomes normal. And the spirit of secular humanism is the one telling them,
don't talk about it, they will still embrace it. Even if they fight it more, push it more, push it more, push it more. One day they will get tired. Look for influential people. There is this pastor's wife that likes some fashion. Put it on her, put it on her, so that the church members will buy it. Then whenever the pastor puts it, they will say, even a pastor's wife, are you the only pastor? We listen, we don't judge. Then we look for influential figures. Then we look for people you respect. And sometimes you don't know that the people you respect, they have started fraternizing with these devils unconsciously. Why? Some of them have their heart tied to something in Sodom and Gomorrah that God has not taken yet. It is that thing that the devil will lay hold of whenever he's about to get them. And it will be easy to get them, because that's where their desire and their heart lies. All things are lawful, they are not expedient. No matter how fashion conscious you are, let fashion not be the center of your life. No matter how much you pursue money as a business person, let money not be the center of your life. Anything you choose to be the center of your life is Satan's bait to get you. And that's why I always tell people, don't ever say, this is my weakness. Don't announce to the forces of hell that you have something. You now use your mouth to tell them that it is your weakness. I guarantee you, it's that same thing they used to hit you down. You wake up and say, anger is my weakness. You wake up, you say, my problem is just a sexual sin. They will finish you with it. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Secular humanism also rejects external guidance. Now let me take this. The core of secular humanism is the promotion of human dignity, respect, right, well-being. Irrespective of one's belief in God, happiness becomes the ultimate goal. Just be happy. For instance, if someone chooses to live as a gay, leave them. Let them just be what? Happy. Lesbian or transgender, or even engage in unconventional practices, as long as it brings happiness, it is considered valid. Secular humanism holds that life should not be viewed or interpreted through the lens of God or anything supernatural. Instead, it relies on science, fact, and human reasoning to draw conclusion about life. You getting what I'm saying here? Is it making any sense here? So these guys are seriously sitting down and they're saying anything you decide is happy. You wake up today and you say, I don't want to be a man again. Wow, good. What a good decision. Does it make you happy? Yes. They'll just carry you. They'll go and change it. I also learned that they are now doing it in such a way that certain hormones will not grow from a child. A girl, they will inject her and she will not be able to grow breasts and grow other things. And she will just be growing as a man. Yes. Secular humanism. Men ruling themselves as God. Having no judge, do whatever you like. That's the world that we're pressing into. They have pressed into it a great deal. And that's what they are fighting in many parts of the Western world. Most of the people travel, they say, Pastor, there's no God here. I say, I don't know. Whatever you have seen there is what you have brought there. So we have decided not to live there. We'll just be visiting you people. There's nothing wrong with going there, because some of people are going to change things there. So it's normal. Secular humanism also rejects external guidance, insisting that people have an innate moral compass to decide their path, ethical values and morals, according to their worldview. And derived from human needs and desires. What is deemed morally right is determined by a person's personal interests, experience, and reason. Actions are considered good if they bring personal fulfillment without harming any other person. Secular humanism is dynamic and ever-changing. It doesn't even have any steady rule. So anything that is changing, we are changing with it. And God is not a shifting shadow. Forever, O God, your word is settled. The laws of God are perfect, preserving the soul. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here today? Yes. The philosophy dismisses the need of God in areas such as wealth. So somebody wakes up tomorrow morning and says that God has nothing to do with your money. God is not involved. God does not make anybody rich. Forget about that. And he's even a preacher. Oh, calm down. He's saying something, but he doesn't know where that is coming from. God said, behold, I am he that giveth thee power to get wealth. I teach your finger to your hand to war and your hands to make profits. The God of all grace, the Bible says, will make all grace abound unto you. You having all things in all sufficiency will abound to good works. And God blessed Abraham, and Abraham was blessed, rich in all things. Joseph was prosperous in the house of Potiphar. And the Bible says God gave him favor that translated to what? Prosperity. And somebody says God has nothing to do with it. Maybe because some people have bastardized the idea of sowing and reaping. He now carries everything. For the unbeliever, listen, this is teaching for tomorrow, but let me say, the system of the world is designed in such a way that even the system with which unbelievers make money, the normal legal system of work, diligence, and all those ethics, they are all the principles of God. All power belongs to God. Men have adopted it. It is secularism that's created a distinction between the spiritual and the secular. Ideally, the believer does not have a secular life. The believer's life is basically what? Spiritual. That is why when I am blessed, I don't interpret it to my secular work. I don't attribute the honor and the glory to my secular business. I attribute it to who? God. Who gave me life and counted me worthy to be in the land of the living. They say, but unbelievers, the same thing. No, the reason you see unbelievers enjoy the same thing, it is the justice of God, the mercy of God that allows rain to fall on the believer and the unbeliever. God is just showing the whole world how merciful he is. That if you play on a level ground with the normal principles of diligence, hard work, dutifulness, you will make money. But there is the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow. That one is not the same thing with that secular one they're talking about. Another time, somebody comes from nowhere and he says, you see, you're just saying that God is our protector. God is our protector. Why did you put burglary proof in your house? Why did you? Calm down. Calm down. Get understanding. Our protection is still God. Because many people had the same burglary proof and the house fell on them. Our protection is still God. Because many people drove the same fireproof cars and bulletproof cars. It was not bullets. It somehow sorted and they still died. Safety is of the Lord. Even though the horse is prepared for the day of battle. When the church does not know the word of God, they can sell many things to us. So instead of me to pray at night and say, Father, thank you tonight, for I know you have given your angels charge over me, like in Psalm 91. I put my trust on my burglary proof, my security man, my security alarms, and the CCTV cameras everywhere around my house, believing that that thing is my protection. Sir, you can sleep sound in that house and still not wake up tomorrow morning. Life and death is in the hand of God. Are you getting what I'm saying today? I've been patient enough to watch some kind of things people are saying everywhere, and I realize that the confusion is because many believers do not know the word of God. Israel went for battle. When Israel was going for battle, God showed the way he wanted battles to be fought. I told you yesterday that it was devils and demons that taught people how to make spears and arrows and things to fight and defend themselves. It was not the plan of God. The plan of God for battle is that whenever a battle is raging against you, you will stand from this place and you'll be declaring, God is good. His mercies endures forever. God is good. His mercies endures forever. And the enemies will begin to fight themselves until they are finished. For when a man's way pleases the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace. If they refuse to be at peace, they will perish. And some people have devised an understanding and they feel like that is their own. Secular humanism is a view that champions some of these things. The core principle of secular humanism, write it down, number one, focus on human needs, happiness, and fulfillment without any reference to God. That means ethical values and morals are derived from individuals and collective people. We reason together and choose whatever they think goodness is, kindness is, as far as it makes us happy. That is the way. Is anybody here with me? Let's flow well. In the few minutes I have, I want you to listen very well, because there are many people in church today, they are already following the doctrines of secular humanism. They are not even aware. Even leaders in church, they sound like secular humanists, but they don't know. pastors, they preach it from their pulpits, some of them. They don't know that's what they are doing. Why? When the devil wants to corrupt a thing, he will not come with a direct opposite. All he needs to do is to remove 5% of your truth and put 5% of error. You preach 95% truth. That's your 5% error. Disqualifies all your truth and everything is error. That is the idea of the devil. And you know, when somebody sounds 95% okay and 5% is the only problem, you'll say, you know, let's just leave it. You know, let's just... Satan is already creeping in gradually. When he came to the Garden of Eden, he didn't come with a battalion of demons. He showed up alone. Quietly. Quietly. It was when they came out of Eden that they knew demons were everywhere. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? Number two, rejection of the supernatural. Deny the need for divine authority or miracles to explain the existence or guide moral decisions. They rely on science, reason, and evidence as the ultimate source of knowledge. So a miracle happens and they say it's a lie. There's nothing like that. Forget it. Forget it. God does not do miracles again. God does not work all those things. But you that you know that you have been delivered, healed, and you know. Abi? But that's what they teach. Number three, autonomy and freedom. They advocate for personal freedom to pursue happiness and self-expression in all forms. So you see them in the Western world, they will gather. This one will say, this is what I am. That one will say, this is what I am. The other one will say, this is what I am. This one will bring his wife that is a monkey. The other one will bring his wife that is a drumstick. I'm holding like this. They say, what's this? He said, my baby, I'm holding her carefully. My baby. When you talk anything against them, they'll put the government against you. Why? Because they have partnered with the government. They are spiritual wickedness of this age. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Number four, dynamics and open-mindedness. Adapts to new evidence and evolves with rigid doctrines. Or fear of eternal judgment. They say they don't be afraid of any eternal judgment. It is more or less live your life now. There's no judgment, no heaven, no hell. Nobody will judge anybody. But the Bible says we shall all appear before the judgment seat of God and give account of everything we have done in our body. But they will tell you that it's a lie. Nobody will judge anybody. That these Christians are just deceiving you. There's nothing like that. There will be no day of judgment. Have you not seen that in the Bible? They said we should eat and drink today. For tomorrow we die. But the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Where they stop, that's where God takes it up. After death, judgment. Oh man, thou art inexcusable. You will meet your maker. The challenges that these devils pose to Christianity. Secular humanism's basis on individual reasoning leads to subjective morality. That means morality is about what feels right. It's often prioritized over the universal truth of God. If it feels right and does not harm anybody, it is what? Okay. So if I come out on the streets, totally stark naked, and it makes me happy. Hi. Just imagine your neighbor comes out. Hi. I say, where are you? He say, it makes me happy. Go back to Garden of Eden. Even Garden of Eden said they used leaf. God covered them. And say, no, you cannot go out like this. Every time they sew clothes for you, people don't even know. Especially ladies, you are in danger of many things. Men are in the danger of the hardening of the heart. Women are in the danger of emotions being used to judge everything. They are just emotional, emotional, emotional. Men are the ones that Satan works in their logic to calculate it and reason until they agree with him. But for women, it's just emotions. Every time they sew clothes now, they will sew the clothes and the two sides of your breast will have to be pointed. And they will put a design here. Put another. Why are you putting attention to a place where there's already attention? Why? Special attention. They will now sew another one and drag it like this and open this place. And do your leggings to be the exact color of your body so that anybody see you on the road, forget it. You are the one. And you buy the leggings that is your color. You say it's called nude. Nude. Me. Congratulations. I'm telling you this because when we laugh, we don't know that the whole world lies in wickedness. I don't demonize everything. Those of you who listen to my teachings, you understand. But because I have seen that Satan has crept into the system. He keeps a boss in the office and you are looking for a job, you will never get it until that man says you will bow to Baal. If you don't bow, you will not get it. And no matter how many people are beginning to bow to those altars, and whatever brings you into a place is what you will give to sustain yourself in that place. Is anybody learning anything I'm saying? It believes that morality is not defined by anyone. It is simply about what makes us feel good and happy. What we consider morally wrong might be right to another person. I choose my right, you choose your right. The need for making decisions based on God or Bible makes no sense. You decide good and evil by yourself. And remember Garden of Eden, how Adam fell. The devil came into the garden and the same thing he did to Eve until Eve made a decision that brought man to this position. Christianity teaches objective moral standards derived from the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 105. Put it on the screen fast. Psalm 119 verse 105. Intelligent students of the Bible, you'll be taking notes now. You'll be taking, because these are the things you will attack. When you go for evangelism, one guy would have read plenty things online. He will now counter you. He said, I feel very confused and destabilized when he was talking. Oh, bonk, counter and call here. If you hear what we're teaching, you'll not be confused. If after I finish teaching this thing, you go back and listen to the message again, dig deep into the word of God, you will stand tall. I can't go for any evangelism and anybody talks anything now. Forget it. Even if you are an intelligent person, I don't need to always use the Bible every time to show you that God exists even in nature. If you like to deny it, then that will be your business. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, all scriptures are inspired by God. They are profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto what? Every good work. That's what the word of God stands for. Number 2, rejection of divine authority. The philosophy dismisses God's role in creation, purpose, and ultimate destiny. It says God does not exist and has no role in human society. Men are their own God and can figure out anything they like by themselves. But Christianity says no, that humanity's true identity, purpose, and fulfillment is found in a relationship with who? God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, God made man in his image and in his likeness. In his image created he them, male and female. Are you hearing what I'm saying? John 10:10, he says it is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they will have life and have it how? Abundantly. Number 3, overemphasis on autonomy, that means individualism, which autonomy is celebrated. While autonomy is celebrated, it may neglect the communal and spiritual aspect of life that offers deeper meaning. Have you heard people say things like this? I will serve God in my house. I don't need to go to any church. God is in our hearts. What is it, BLO? You see, you now say it's true. And after all, the Bible says that God looks at the heart. Make sure you are not supporting something that Satan is pioneering. Make sure you are not supporting something that Satan is sponsoring. And people will stay in their house. There are some people that have never gone to church in the past 5 years. You know their problem? Inability to submit to authority. They cannot submit. Why? There is a spirit of rebellion that does not allow that. They will tell you that they will stay in their house and serve God. It's not Bible they are reading. They are just moralists. A long time they don't pray again. When they wake up in the morning, some of them don't even believe whether God exists or not. The few that believe that God exists, in their hearts, they have created hurt and bitterness against the body of Christ. They don't identify with any local one. They are just global individuals running around the streets. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren, as the manner, in the book of Hebrews, as the manner of some is. He said, why? He said, so long as you see that the day is approaching. Kai, can you help me look for it? I didn't pick that. Hebrews chapter what? Is it 13 or 11? Forsake not the gathering of the brethren. Forsake not the gathering. Where is it? So that you will know what to tell that person that is in your compound, that is always saying that, I don't go to church. You are just wasting your time. Pastor is using you. Have they told you that one? Church is using you. Pastor is using you. They are deceiving you. Abi? Is that what? Jesus is in the heart. Oh, correct. You don't need to go anywhere. Jesus is where? In the heart. And it sounds very sweet. Oh, Luto is in the heart. Oh, but when you check it very well, it is a depraved mind that is communicating that thing.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.